Well, good morning. Good to be here this morning. Looking to God's word and praise to Him. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you blessed us with, for sunshine on a cold morning. Thank you for this time, for each one that was able to come this morning and be with us. Help us to supply these things that we read and hear today to our lives. And just help us to believe in your power and what you can do through even us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, for a title today, I have Believing on an All-Powerful God. And I think we would all say that we believe that God is all-powerful and that He knows all things, but sometimes I think maybe we fail to believe and to ask for what He has to offer. So, first passage I'd like to look at is Romans 9, verse 30 through chapter 10. And it talks about the gospel of salvation here in chapter 10, and talks about faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I'd just like to start in chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. These verses, verse 30, it says the Gentiles attained to the righteousness which is of faith in Jesus. And the following verses I read talk about those who seek to establish their own righteousness through the works of the law, and have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, which is in Jesus Christ, and in faith of Him and the sacrifice He made with His blood. And I'll just continue reading here in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This speaks of the good news of salvation to all who confess Jesus as Lord, and to those who believe that God raised him from the dead. I think sometimes people miss the part where it says in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. People talk about the Lord Jesus and that salvation comes through him, but I think the part that they miss sometimes is making him Lord of their life and seeing him as king. That's an important part of that piece of confessing and believing. Let's keep reading in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Verse 17, it talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I think if we feel like we lack faith, we can go to his word and read and we can be filled. Verse 18 and 19 speak of many who have heard and still many who don't believe. Verse 20 says Isaiah says that many he was not specifically preaching and prophesying to heard and believed. But verse 21, those he was prophesying to would not believe because they were disobedient and speaking against the things of God. I think this is true today that many who know and hear truth will not believe because of disobedience to God and God's ways. And sadly, this is the truth of many who profess to be Christians today, that they won't believe because of disobedience. Another chapter I'd like to look at is Luke 12. And we'll read from the beginning to, I think, verse 34. Verses 1 through 7 talk about how God knows all things. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. That can be a big encouragement to us that God cares about us and knows everything that we're going through. Keep reading. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Verses 11 and 12 here talk about believing that God will give us the things we need in the moment that we need them, and just trusting Him for that. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Talks here of not trusting in uncertain riches. I think that is our pride when we look at maybe the things we've accomplished, what we have laid up, and think that we can provide for ourselves through the time to come, and we don't know what will take place that could change all of that. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These verses talk about how we are not to worry about the necessities of life. And verse 31 says, Rather seek the kingdom of God, and he will supply the things we have need of. Verse 32 says, It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And What is the kingdom? I think it is for us to make his ways our ways, for him, for us to see him as king and be his followers. Yes. Thinking about God being all powerful, Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And thinking about it, that power comes from God the Father. All power comes from God. In Mark chapter 6, I'd like to turn there. A couple verses. Mark 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus was in his own country. Verse 5, it says, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." Here it appears that Jesus' power could not be shown where there was no faith. And I think today and always, I think our pride is one of the biggest things that gets in the way of God being able to work in our lives. And this can be related to many different things in different ways. It should be no surprise that Jesus taught so strongly of the dangers of riches, as riches can make us feel self-reliant rather than trusting in God's provision. Like to read in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" God wants us to ask him for the things that we desire of him. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Just thinking about diligently seeking him there, at times we may need to continue asking, continue seeking and knocking. And like to read in James 1, 5 through 7. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." This specifically speaks of wisdom here, asking God for wisdom. But I think that this applies to anything that is God's will for us to have, that he wants us to come to him in faith. So, in closing, just some thoughts I had is that God has all power. He knows all things. He wants us to come to him in faith, asking him for the things we need. He wants to give good things to those who ask him. And if we feel like we lack faith, we can be built up by the word of God and by spending time with other faithful believers. So that's what I had to share. I hope that can be an encouragement and that we can be filled with God's word today.